Previously on Ballyglissain.
I'm sorry again, I walked straight past you earlier.
No, Fiona, it's fine. It's been a long time since we saw one another. I'm sure I've changed.
She made it sound like the whole village is up in arms about this thing. The mural.
But sure, Hannah, listen to me. Nobody is upset. Nobody cares.
That Kelly brat is completely the wrong person to represent our wee town. People haven't forgotten, Pascal. Nobody in Ballyglissain has forgotten what Liam Kelly did.
Hannah, have you got a second?
Right now?
Just a second.
I can take my break early.
Please, I'll meet you outside, at the smoking area.
Ballyglissain, episode 4.
Okay, I'm here. What's up?
You were right.
I usually am. Can you be more specific?
About Miss McGowan, I mean.
Ah, the Wicked Witch.
Exactly. That is exactly what she is, a Wicked Witch.
What's happened?
It's that guy. The guy from Letterkenny.
What guy from Letterkenny?
I met him Wednesday. The youth club guy. They were asking me about painting the outside of their hall. He was all up for it. I'd sent him on some pictures of the mural here, and he was loving it. Loving my ideas. He wanted something big. A sports thing. I told him what I could do. We even talked a price. Like money. He was all set to pay me half up front.
And?
And then I hear from him this morning, and it's all off. Done. Dusted. Not a hope in hell. He was really cool, so I chatted for a minute. Sussed him out. Definitely something up. And he's like, he doesn't want to say anything, doesn't want to get into any sort of thing. But then he says that he's heard that the people here, people up here in the village, people are not happy with the mural. That it's a concern. That it's a big problem. And then he was really nice, said he was sorry. Then he hung up.
Oh, jeez, Liam, I'm sorry, I really am.
You said this was going to happen. You told me. I actually didn't think anything would come of it. Didn't think anything would come of what she was saying. I was wrong. Some old biddy came up to me on the street, said the whole thing was a disgrace. The mural. Just out of the blue. What the hell is going on?
Oh, it's just easy to sway people. Some people. Most people.
Why is she doing this to me, Miss McGowan? Why does she hate me?
I don't know. How would I know? I don't think she hates you, Liam. I don't think she knows anything about you.
Except what everybody knows about me.
Ah, yes. Except what everybody knows about you. But I still don't think she hates you. Or even cares about you. I think maybe it's a power thing. I don't know. She and Jimmy fought the whole time. I know that. Well, I know everybody fought with him, and he could be a real dick, but she really hated him. He had money to throw around, I suppose. And if he wanted things to happen in the village, he could make them happen. She couldn't be like that. So, they were enemies. And he was the one behind this mural. It was his idea. So, in a way, it's him she's getting at, I think. You're just collateral damage, Liam.
Great. She's going to ruin my life. She's going to ruin everything for me. This is my only chance. This is my chance to actually make something out of what I love doing. You know? Put everything I did before behind me. Start fresh.
And you still don't know what they're objecting to?
No, not a clue. Nobody has said a thing. Have you heard anything?
Nope. I've heard some people chat about it in the shop, but nothing specific. Liam, there isn't anything in the picture, is there? Like, in the mural, I mean.
Hannah, no. You don't think I would do that, do you?
Do you know what I mean, though? Something small, in the background maybe, just for a laugh.
No, Hannah. I'm taking this serious. I really am. This is a fresh start for me. I'm grabbing it with both hands. Not being an idiot, you know.
I do.
I'm going to go talk to her.
Who? Miss McGowan? The Wicked Witch herself? You're not serious.
I am. I'll go round to her this evening. Talk to her.
That won't work.
How do you know it won't work?
Because I know her sort. You do too. She's not interested in talking. She's not interested in listening. She's interested in getting her way. She's interested in winning, nothing else.
I'll make her listen to me.
Liam, don't be a fool and don't lose your temper. You will get nothing that way. Listen to me.
Thanks, Hannah. I know you mean well, but I gotta try.
Daniel! Oh, you're home early. I was just heading out. I'm...
Grania.
What?
You did it. You went ahead and did it. After everything I said.
Oh, you called in on Mum?
Yes. Yes, I did. I don't believe it. I really don't believe it. You went ahead and bought her a dog.
I didn't buy her a dog. It's a rescue dog from the pound. It's a good thing. We did a good thing. We saved a dog's life. A lovely, sweet little dog in need of a good and loving home. We're heroes. All of us, including you, dear brother. Yay.
We talked about this.
No, you talked about this. You did a lot of talking about this. Talk, 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 but you did not listen. Look, Mum needs this. She needs company. She's lonely out there in the country. She needs a dog. She needs another dog. Her last dog died. It's very simple.
And what happens when...
No. No, she's not going to let this dog out on the road. That was an accident. An accident. God, you make it sound like it's a way of life. You make it sound like she's incompetent. She's far from it, Daniel. Far from it. She's only 72. She can look after herself. And she can look after a dog. She just wants company. Surely you can understand that. You're busy, I get it. You're too busy to see her more than once or twice a week. So I get that too. No judgment. I'm gone, I'm in Galway, I'm not here. I get that too. The dog is company for her. And it's security.
Security?
Yeah, with all the break-ins out her way, a dog is security.
That little furt of a thing won't give her much in the way of security. And you know it, Grania.
Daniel, it doesn't have to be an attack dog to keep her safe. All it has to do is bark. That's all. Somebody starts to break in, the dog starts a furious racket, and just next thing you know, the burglar runs away.
You make it sound so simple.
It is. It is simple. Sometimes life is simple. Sometimes things work out. God, look on the bright side, Daniel. Anyway, it's done now. She has the dog. The dog lives there and, you know, has for several days, which you would know if you visited more often. No, I'm not judging you. I know it sounded like I was just now, but I wasn't. Honest. Sorry. In any case, there's nothing we can do about it now. Daniel, I'm heading out. I'm meeting Sharon and Siobhan and meeting one of our old teachers. Ramona Doherty, do you remember her? No, I can tell from your face you haven't a clue who I'm talking about. Anyway, we remember her. Oh, lovely lady. We haven't seen her in years. And I'm really looking forward to it. And it's going to be a lovely afternoon. And I will be in a great mood this evening when you see me next. And we can fight then. And you can completely ruin my good mood, dear darling brother. Hooray.
All right.
See you later.
See you later.
Dad, it's good to see you here. At work. In the office. It's good to see you back behind your desk where you belong.
Well, I suppose it's good to be back. This is probably where I belong, all right.
How are you holding up, being here?
I'm fine, Hannah. Fine. And how are you? I was out on the floor earlier, but there was no sign of you.
Oh, yeah, I was outside. I took my break early. Liam was in. Wanted to chat.
Liam Kelly?
Yeah.
So he's back in the scene now, is he?
I suppose. He's back living at home, if that's what you mean.
Right. Right, I thought I saw him hanging out with Jimmy these past few weeks. It would make sense.
Yeah, they were great pals.
Were they? Were they indeed? What about Liam's old pals? That girl he was going out with? Your friend, Mairead? How is she, after everything he did?
She's fine. Mairead's fine. Look, I'm not here to defend Liam Kelly. He made some mistakes. Everybody knows it. He knows it himself. And he's putting that behind him.
Look, just be careful. Don't go trusting him too much, okay? He could disappear again, leaving someone else to clear up his mess. You know that. He did it before. His father...
Fine.
Look, I don't want to chat about this either, but... Earlier, when I was looking for you, I was wondering if you wanted to go for lunch later. The pub? Get a proper dinner. For a change.
Sure thing, Deb. Sounds good. Something different. And we'll not talk about Liam Kelly.
We'll not mention him.
Right. I'll get back out there.
See you later.
Oh, nearly forgot. Did Fiona find you?
No.
She was anxious to see you, I think. She asked about you several times last week.
Did she?
And not in a concerned way, if you know what I mean. You know how she is. She seemed annoyed, stressed, pissed off, usual. You know what Madame is like. Anyway, I was wondering if she found you. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Does she know you're back at work?
I don't know if she knows. I presume she does. I haven't seen her. Her door was closed when I came in. She might have been in there. Ronan's probably not in this early. Maybe she's not in. Maybe she doesn't know why I'm here. Anyway, whatever it is, I'm sure it can wait. I'll talk to her when I talk to her.
Okay. I just thought I'd tell you. And there's no sign of that detective either. She was around several days last week, asking questions. And she was asking about you. She wanted to talk to you.
It's okay. I spoke to her.
Oh?
Yeah. Yeah, she called to the house.
She what?
She called up to her house last week. Wednesday evening, I think.
You never said.
There was nothing to say. She just wanted to ask questions about Jimmy. She's asking everyone questions about Jimmy. She's obviously trying to build up a picture of the sort of man he was, I suppose. Ah, she seems nice enough. But scatterbrained. We wound up talking about the colour of the paint I was using. She seemed far more interested than that.
Well, she was annoying everyone in here last week. Knocking things over, asking oddball questions.
I gathered as much. She might be a bit all at sea, but she, certainly seems to know a lot about the business side of things here. Or at least, she's been listening to the rumour mill.
About the supermarket closing down?
Yeah. Nonsense, every word of it. I said that to you before, Hannah, and I'll say it again. I wish I knew how that rumour got started. Hannah?
Dad?
It wasn't you, was it?
Dad!
You're in here all the time, using the computer. I don't mind that, I said it's fine. I know you track UFO sightings or whatever.
It's not just UFO stuff. There are things happening in the world. Things that...
Hannah, you wouldn't poke into stuff, would you? Emails? My emails?
Dad, people are just worried. Worried about their jobs.
Well, they have nothing to worry about.
Can you guarantee that, Dad?
Yes, I can. Our customers have been shopping here for decades. That's not going to change. Look, I have stuff to do here, okay? Do you want to meet for lunch, yes or no?
Yes, of course. Yes, Dad. Sorry.
Right. I'll see you later.
So, Sinead, you've been here over a week now. How do you like our little village?
Oh, I like it. I like it a lot, Angela. Nice people, nice location. One of the nicest villages I've been to in Donegal.
Yes. Oh, nice people. Oh, except, of course, for the fact that one of them murdered my husband.
Well, yes, there is that.
And how much progress have you made in that regard, Sinead? If you don't mind me asking.
Oh, no, Angela, it's fine, ask away. Well, since you ask, it's been a productive week, or should I say 8 days. I've spoken to a lot of people, and I must say I've gotten a comprehensive picture of the sort of man your husband was.
I can well imagine the sort of things you've heard. So, any idea who did it?
Well, knowing and proving are two very different things, Angela. Well, that's all I'm prepared to say for now. Fergal always says. Fergal is my husband.
I know. You mentioned him once or twice before.
Oh, did I? Oh, well, Fergal always says I put the cart before the horse. So this time, I'm going to keep my cards close to my chest. Or keep my cart close to my chest.
Sounds promising.
Or I'm not usually a great one for keeping secrets. Excuse me. You see, 1 year for Christmas, I decided to buy Fergal golf clubs. For Christmas, right? I bought them in the summer, stored them away. All very good, I thought. Very proud of myself, planning ahead and all. Anyway, his birthday rolls around later in the year, and I bought him golf balls. You know, kind of ruining the surprise for Christmas. I'm the detective in the house, but even Fergal, half asleep as he usually is, could figure out where that one was going.
So he's a golfer now, is he?
Oh, no. Never golfed a day in his life. No, it's just a notion I had. You know, something to get him out of the house, get him out from underfoot. Otherwise, you know, he just sits around scratching himself, annoying me.
And tell me, did you speak with Daniel McGinley? Is he on your list of suspects?
Which one is he? Remind me.
Daniel McGinley, the electrician, lives just across the way. He's a nice young lad, very serious, never seems to smile. He was the one that found James that day.
Oh, yes, I did. I did speak to him. In fact, I want to chat to him again. I must call over that way. Couple of questions I forgot to ask the first time. He seems like a nice young fellow. Now, he certainly has the means to do it, you know, being an electrician and all.
Yes, I know.
And he certainly did not like your husband. Now, that much was very clear from our conversation.
Yes, I was well aware of that.
Any idea what led to that animosity?
No, I never knew what was behind it.
And did your husband feel the same way?
No, that was the thing. He didn't. It really seemed to be one-sided, whatever was behind it. And as I said before, the thing is, Daniel's a very nice lad. He's well regarded in the village, very good at his job. He's done some work for me in the past. Sound lad, as they say. Whatever was between him and James, I find it very difficult to believe that Daniel would stoop to murder.
Well, actually, I have some thoughts on that. We now know that your husband passed away from a heart attack. And we can surmise that the device which was hooked up to the inside of your front door when your husband touched it would not have had sufficient charge to kill most people. In fact, it seems more than likely, to me, that the person behind this did not have murder as their intent.
Really?
I don't think so. Your husband was taking tablets for his heart, correct?
Yes. Yes, he was.
And who knew that?
Nobody. Not one person. At least, not one person outside this house. James had many faults, I admit. Vanity was certainly one of them. He'd been taking those heart tablets for years, but he was touchy about it. Very touchy. He saw it as a sort of weakness, I suppose. And he certainly didn't want people to know about them, the tablets. It was only begrudgingly that he even admitted it to me.
So you were the only person that knew about them? The tablets?
Yes, I suppose so. Makes me suspect number one, I suppose.
Well, hardly that. As I said earlier, I do have some ideas about who was behind it.
I wish I could do something more to help. I really do. James had his faults, but he didn't deserve this. If I could do anything to see justice done, I would be so happy.
I understand.
It's a pity the camera didn't pick anything up.
The camera?
Yes, the CCTV. We have a system, but it was disabled.
Oh, yes, yes, I did see something in the notes about that. I meant to ask about it, but I kept forgetting. Right, a camera out the back of the house. Disabled. Now that itself could be a clue. We could be up against a tech genius.
I doubt it.
Really?
Well, he just threw a stone at it, as far as I can see.
Oh, hardly a tech genius, then so. You said he.
Well, he or she, I suppose. Could be a woman.
Yeah, could be a woman, true. Oh, but yes, it's a shame. Those camera things can be fierce handy. Not that I know much about them.
Oh, well, this one's simple enough. It's outdated now, I suppose, but simple enough. James bought it many years ago when stuff like this was cutting edge. Modern ones are connected to your phone, but this one stores about 3 weeks' worth of footage on a hard drive in the house. You access it through the Wi-Fi with a password. Oh, I never went near it. It was his toy. Luckily, he'd written the password down. Otherwise, I'd never have gotten it.
And?
There was nothing to see. Camera stops on Wednesday night, 2 days before James died. I'll show you if you like.
Oh, yes, yes, I'd like to see that before I go. Tell me, where did the system come from?
Oh, gosh. Oh, I'd have to think back. Well, this was years ago. I think it was just a travelling salesman, maybe? Guy landed on the doorstep randomly one day, that kind of thing.
Right, right. I wonder, did anyone else buy a camera from him? Here in the village, I mean.
Well, Miss McGowan did. I know that for a fact. James got a discount on our system because he referred her to the salesman. Yes, I definitely remember that. So she has one. Or she had.
And she lives...
just behind here. You can see the back of our house from her back door.
Can you now? Oh, that's very interesting.
Okay, young Mr. Kelly. You've obviously come here to say your piece.
and I'm not going to try and stop you. Go ahead. Say what you came here to say, and then you can be on your way.
Look, Miss McGowan, I'm not here for a fight.
Good to hear.
I just want to talk about all this misunderstanding.
Misunderstanding, is it? Is that what you're calling it?
Look, I just want to...
Oh, I don't think there's a misunderstanding between us, young Mr. Kelly. You've painted something vulgar in a public area, and I want it painted over. No misunderstanding there.
Miss McGowan, there is nothing vulgar about that mural. Nothing. It's just a battle scene. There's some blood, dead bodies...
Fine. I don't think we have much more to say to each other, do you?
What about it is vulgar? Tell me and I'll change it.
Oh, I see. You would like that. You want me to give voice to what you did out there? Typical of your generation. And typical of you in particular, Mr. Kelly.
Look.
I know you. I've known you a very long time, you and your type. But I remember you. I remember you as a young boy. I remember the way you walked around this village. Even then you walked on the pavement as if you owned the place. That's you, isn't it? That's your generation. There's a real sense of entitlement there. Like you own the world and everybody in it owes you something. So yes, I know your type. And you, young Mr. Kelly, you are worse than most. I knew your father, and Sonny was a good man, but not you. There's darkness in you. I could see it then, and I can see it now. I wasn't surprised when you broke his heart. I wasn't surprised when you turned to gambling and wasted away all the money that he had spent on your education. It was quite a scandal here, you know. Everybody talking about it. Well, not me. I mind my own business. I keep to myself. But everybody else? It was the only thing they talked about for months. Your father's money. His life's savings. And you? You often let Kenny gambling it away. And who knows what else? Drugs, I suppose. Wouldn't surprise me.
I didn't.
And then to top it all, you vanished. Disappeared. And nobody heard from you again. Not even your poor, broken father. I hear you were homeless. Living on the streets, doing God knows what for 2 years.
Yes, I've made mistakes. I was weak. I went down the wrong path, and I did gamble. I used to gamble. I don't gamble now. I needed help to quit. And it took me a while to admit that to myself.
And what about your father? He certainly paid for your sins, didn't he? He paid for your so-called weakness. He paid for your so-called wrong path.
Right. Listen, you old bat. Nobody thinks about that man more than I do. I think about him every morning. I think about him every afternoon. I think about him every evening. I lie awake at night in that empty house and I think about him. And I'm not thinking about the money either, as bad and all that was. I'm thinking about the promise. The promise that I made. The promise that I broke. He believed in me. Dad believed that I could do this. And I told him I would give it my all. And then I fell apart. I was in class after class after class. And I thought everyone here is better than me. Every day I thought that. And I didn't want to tell anyone. I didn't want to tell him. I only started gambling because it gave me some control. Winning gave me back a sense of control. And I felt good about myself. But of course, as you know, as everyone knows, I didn't keep winning. And like a fool, I threw the money I had after the money I lost. Then I had nothing. I wasn't partying. Or doing drugs. Or any of that stuff. I was homeless and too ashamed to come back. To face Dad. I found places to stay with people, with friends. We stayed in old empty houses here and there. We looked out for one another. Some were drinking, yes, whatever, I wasn't. I walked around all day. Stayed warm and dry in the shopping centres when I had to. Asked strangers for money. Hid when I saw a face from home. I'd still be there now, but I heard Dad had died. So I copped on. Finally stopped what I was doing and went and got help. It took a while, but I knew I had to get back to where I was before. Back when I made the promise. And that's what I'm doing now, keeping that promise to him by doing the mural and earning a living as an artist.
Well, I'm so glad you decided to get help for yourself. But there was no help for your father, was there? He died in shame and poverty because of you. But hey, it all turned out good for you, didn't it? Because you decided to get help. And now you're back. And up to your dirty tricks again, I imagine. You say you've quit gambling? Have you? Have you, Mr. Kelly? I doubt it. I don't want you here. Not where I live. I don't want you spreading your darkness. I grew up here. This is my village. These are my friends, my neighbours. You make a laughing stock out of our village, you make a laughing stock of them, and you make a laughing stock of me. And that is not happening. Am I clear?
Yes. It's clear. It's clear there's no talking to you, Miss McGowan. It's clear you won't listen. It's clear that you've made your mind up. Sorry I've wasted your time. I'll be on my way.
If I were a man,
if you were a man, I'd ask you to step outside.
Hello, dear brother. How are we now?
Hey, Grania.
Did you go back to work?
Yeah, back to work. I called in to Claire for a while as well on the way home. Oh, Claire says hi. She wants to meet up before you head back to Galway. She said she'll text you.
Yeah, great. I'd love to see her. How are you?
Fine. I'm fine. I get it. What you said earlier, you're right. It's done. The dog is there. She has the dog. Nothing to be done now about the dog. I can't exactly go out there and take it from her now, can I? So you won.
Daniel, it's not a competition. I'm not trying to beat you or win anything. I'm just trying to do the right thing for Mum. Honest.
I know. I just hope this decision, your decision, doesn't come back to bite us in the ass.
Look, anyway, on to more important things. That detective was here again. The one investigating the murder.
What did she want?
You. She wanted to talk to you again.
Oh? Why?
That's what I was wondering, Daniel. I mean, she spoke to you before, right?
Yeah. She asked me a ton of questions. Which makes sense. I live across from the victim. I was the one found him. I don't like him very much, and I'm an electrician.
That's what I was thinking. Now she wants to talk to you again. That can't be good, I mean, can it?
I don't know.
Are they thinking you're a suspect? Are you a suspect?
Well, at this stage, I presume everybody in the village is a suspect, Grania. Her wanting to talk to me again probably means nothing. I mean, I didn't do it. I didn't kill him. You don't look convinced. Don't tell me you think I did it. Seriously, Grania, what the hell?
No, I don't like it. I don't like her coming back. You would tell me, Daniel, if there was anything.
Tell you what?
Well, you said his dog was annoying, you jumping up on the door handle and opening the front door, that he did it all the time. I mean, I was thinking, what if you rigged something, Daniel? Something harmless, to give the dog a small shock, maybe. Intending to stop him from jumping up on doors, and what if it all went wrong somehow?
Oh, for God's sake. I did not try to electrocute Jimmy Galbraith's dog.
Not electrocute him, but just, I don't know, give him a wee shock. A harmless wee shock. If you did, I'd understand.
Grania.
And I thought, what if it went wrong? I'm just saying, if it did. If it did go wrong, Daniel, there's nobody better to have in your corner than me. I'm your big sister. I love you. I would fight your case like you would not believe. You've no idea how far I'd go for you, Daniel. Even if your plan was to do something to Galbraith himself.
What?
I'm just saying. I don't know. Maybe this. What I'm saying is what the detective is thinking. Maybe she thinks you're the one set something up inside the house to get Galbraith. Daniel, I'm worried. I'm really worried.
Are you worried for me or are you worried for yourself?
What is that supposed to mean?
You know what it means. You act like I have all the motive in the world to harm Galbraith. You act like you didn't know the man. We both know you did know him. We both know you knew him very well. Now, I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm not. That's because I'm loyal. I'm loyal to you. It would never enter my mind that you would do something like that. I trust you, Grania. But I'm not stupid. And you pretending that you didn't know him doesn't wash with me.
Daniel, what are you talking about?
You worked there. You worked with him. That summer. The summer before you left.
In the supermarket? That was a lifetime ago.
Maybe so, but it happened. You worked there. With him. Yet you act like you never met the man. You act like you didn't grow up in Donegal, just like I did. But we both know that you did. And we both know that you knew James Galbraith.
Where is all this coming from?
It's coming from me walking into my own house at the end of a long, busy, unpleasant day and finding my own sister standing here telling me that possibly I'm the number one suspect in the murder of the week. I don't like it. I didn't do it. I didn't set anything up to give the dog a wee shock. I didn't set anything up to give Jimmy Galbraith a shock. And I don't think you did it either. But at least, at the very least, will you please admit to me that you had every reason in the world to hate that man, just as I did? He wasn't a stranger to you. Look, you're my big sister. And I love you. You're always going to be my big sister. But when you come back to visit, you do shovel a lot of manure. Okay? And I don't want to listen to that tonight. Tonight, I want to go in and watch something for an hour. So, I'm going to go and do that. And you're welcome to join me, but no talking. Not about this or anything else. In the morning, I'll phone that stupid detective and I'll meet her. Right? Right, I'm going in here to watch Celebrity Cake Makers or something similar. I don't care. I don't care anymore.
Mr. McRae. Burning the midnight oil, I see.
Detective Hart, come in, come in.
Oh, I hope I'm not interrupting.
No, not at all, not at all. Do not let the mess mislead you. I find that cultivating a dishevelled desk at work gives the impression of being busy. Never a bad thing.
You'll have to remember that one, Mr. McRae. I'm glad I caught you. Today has been a day where I keep missing the people I want to talk to. You had one very promising lead, but the woman I want to speak to can't be found anywhere. And then there was a man I wanted to talk to, but he's not around either. And Fiona, your accountant, I wanted to have a quick word with her this afternoon, but I was told she wasn't at work today.
So you're stuck with me.
Well, now I'm sure our conversation will prove fruitful in its own way.
Well, what did you need to speak to me about?
Oh, well, there's just the one matter, really. You know, just one thing I wanted to clear up. Something that was bothering me. You know how that is, like if you sit down with a cup of tea and to watch a good murder film on the television, but you suddenly think, did I put the lid back on the sugar? And it annoys you so much that you end up going back out onto the kitchen to check. And sure, of course, 10 times out of 10 the lid is back on the sugar. I mean, the funny thing is, I don't even take sugar in my tea. Fergal, my husband, he's the one that takes sugar in our house. I never touch the stuff. What about you, Mr. McRae? Do you take sugar?
No. What was it you said you wanted to speak to me about?
Oh, right. The future of the supermarket, Mr. McRae. I heard from a few people here that the supermarket might be in trouble. You know, might actually be in danger of closing.
We covered this. Rumours. You remember. It's just idle gossip. Nothing to it. If you think this is something to do with Jimmy's death, I can assure you, you're on the wrong path. The supermarket is fine. It will be here next year. It will be here in 10 years. It will be here in 25 years.
Interesting that you should say that, Mr. McRae. You said much the same thing the other day, didn't you? About the supermarket being the heartbeat of the village.
Yes, I believe I did say that.
It's just that, and I don't want to give the impression that I don't believe you, because that's not true. I do believe you. I can see your passion. I can see that you believe what you're saying.
But
the rumours had to start somewhere. Like, the rumours had to come from somewhere. And the only logical place they could come from, as far as I could see, would be the chain that you are part of. I mean, they call the shots, don't they? So I decided to give them a call. You know, see if anyone there could help me. And I was able to get some answers. The man I spoke with, Andrew, I think his name was, he even sent on some paperwork to me in an email. And very interesting reading it was. You know, well, once I remembered my password. These passwords are a nuisance, aren't they? Well, that's why I wanted to speak to Fiona, the woman who does the books here.
I see.
Yes, I'm sure you do. As the rumours would suggest that the supermarket has not been making the sort of profits in recent years that Dublin would like. In fact, they were thinking of turning the whole place into a storage facility for the remaining years of the franchise agreement. It wouldn't be a supermarket anymore, and there wouldn't be many people working here. So, under the terms of the contract that Mr. Galbraith signed with them, they are perfectly entitled to do that. But Mr. McRae, you know all of this, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I knew all of that. Jimmy and I were determined to fight that plan. I still am, and a big part of that fight is secrecy.
Well, Mr. McRae, it's not much of a secret. Several people working here have told me that they think the place is closing. You know, being turned into a warehouse.
That's just people worrying about their jobs. They don't fully understand what's going on here above their level. I wouldn't expect them to. And they'll worry more if you tell them what you heard from that Andrew fellow. Trust me, I can turn this place around. Jimmy and I had talked about it a lot. There is a way to stop that ridiculous proposal from going into effect. There's a way to prove that it's not a viable option. I know our profits will go up in the next 3 months, and I know they will go up even more in the next 6 months. I can get them back to where they were. Once that happens, well, there's no sense in Dublin closing the place. Corporate dullards like Andrew come up with proposals like this because it's their job to come up with proposals like this. They concoct this kind of nonsense all the time to justify their existence. It means nothing.
I see.
I hope you do, Detective Hart. I hope you'll keep what you've heard confidential. There is no benefit to your investigation in spreading rumours. There's no good that will come of telling the people who work here, who have worked here for all their lives in some cases, that their jobs might be in jeopardy. Especially when it probably, definitely, will never come to pass. Never.
Oh, of course. I'm not here to scaremonger. I'm not. I'm just here to find out what happened to James Galbraith. Find out who is responsible for his death. And all this digging around that I'm doing, it's all to that end, nothing more. I'm going to leave you, Mr. McRae. You're a busy man. You've told me everything you need to know. You know, confirmed what I suspected. Right. Well, that's all for one night. I'm going home to Fergal. He's putting on weight, you know. All that sugar he puts in his tea, I suppose. Just as well I didn't marry him for his looks. Oh, thanks for your time, Mr. McRae. Don't stay too late.
Good night, Detective Hart.
Agnes, it's good to hear your voice. Listen, I know it's late and everything, and I hope I'm not interrupting. I just wanted to talk to you for a few minutes. I've had a very trying day. He was here. Young Mr. Kelly.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Now, before I get to that, I want to thank you for your support. Sincerely. Sometimes I feel like you're the only one who truly gets it. Who truly understands. Well, that's good to hear. Great to hear. The more people who understand what's going on, the better. That's all I want to do. I'm not trying to change people's minds. You know me. I mind my own business. Let people do what they want. And I don't let it concern me. But this eyesore was a step too far. It's a disgrace. And with everything else that was happening with poor Mr. Galbraith, for instance, people just weren't paying attention. Weren't going to see it for what it is. And they weren't going to see it in time. I had to speak out. And just as well I did. Agnes, I hear something. Outside. It's a banging. Can you hear it? There it is again. Someone's outside. It's probably Liam Kelly. He was here earlier, you know. He threatened me. I think he's come back.
Ballylisane, written by Michael Letty. Co-produced for Highland Radio by Joe Dex and Michael Letty. Starring
Orla Carlin as Angela Galbraith,
Ovin Diver as Hannah,
Elaine Gillespie as Detective Sinead Hart, Laura Gleason as Grania,
Martin Hassan as Daniel,
Maria Tennessy as Miss McGowan,
Kieran Kelly as Peter McRae,
Gilbert Young as Liam Kelly,